The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me today is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today we're going to be talking about support for those living with chronic lower respiratory disease, and we have an expert on the subject. She is Terry Osterhout-Payton. She's affiliated with Margaretville Hospital, which is a member of the Westchester Medical Center. Terry has 28 years of experience as a respiratory therapist. She's also an instructor in basic life support, which is CPR, advanced cardiac life support, pediatric advanced life support, and neonatal advanced life support. Terry, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. So Terry, can you give our listeners just a concise summary overview of what chronic lower respiratory disease is?
Yes. Chronic lower respiratory disease is your chronic bronchitis, your emphysema, your asthma, pulmonary hypertension, work-related lung diseases like your asbestosis, black lung, silicosis. It's examples of your breathing issues where you're having trouble with wheezing and cough and inflammation in your airways where you produce mucus and you're needing to use rescue inhalers and breathing medications.
Mm-hmm. So I understand from the notes that Margaretville has a chronic lower respiratory disease program. Tell us about that and how people patients are referred to you. How do they find their way to the program?
So I've been going out to the community and doing education to different groups, senior groups, and places like New York Connects and Office of the Aging, just bringing it out for them to see what we've been offering here and showing them what we have. And then doing classes here at the hospital. We've been giving classes on physical therapy. We've been doing classes on nutrition. We've been doing classes on yoga, chair yoga. We've been doing all kinds of stuff to help people, breathing exercises, help them stay home, be successful, and not end up in the hospital when they're having difficulty with their breathing, understanding when they're having exacerbations or when their symptoms are increasing with their COPD so that they can stay home and manage their symptoms from home or call their doctor when their symptoms are starting to increase and speak with their doctor and get on the proper medication so that they're not needing to go into the hospital to manage the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask, so how does one know that one has this disease? Is it primarily through visiting their own doctor and getting a formal diagnosis and then getting referred to a program like yours?
Yeah. So first of all, the primary reason why someone develops chronic lower respiratory disease, especially your COPDs, your emphysemas, and your chronic bronchitis, we understand is from smoking. So someone who has a history of smoking is much more predisposed to developing chronic lower respiratory disease. So they may go to their doctor and find that they have chronic lower respiratory disease. Asthma, I mean, you may develop as a child and grow up with. Pulmonary hypertension obviously develops as an adult. Work-related, I mean, if you're working with asbestos or if you're working with other things like molds and things like that, that you're exposed to it and you understand and find that out as you're working with it. But in the meantime, you develop a cough is the first thing that you find. You have a cough. Hmm. And then you go to the doctors and then you find they send you for testing, which generally would be x-rays and pulmonary function testing. And they'll find that you may have some kind of lung disease. And then they'll send you for or start medications. And they may send you for this kind of classes for our chronic lower respiratory disease classes. And the classes are to help educate you, because especially where we are, Margaretville, we're very rural, and there isn't a lot of opportunity to find out about what you have, what the diseases are, or the medications, how to properly take them, or the exercises to do, the breathing exercises, the foods to eat, how to properly take care of yourself to make sure that you're doing the best that you can to make sure that you're staying healthy. You just don't have the opportunities. The doctors aren't here. You don't have as many opportunities to see a doctor or get the proper care without having to drive quite a distance to do that.
Seems like there are a lot of layers and complexities. So if I understand it, then this is complementary to a treatment that your doctor may provide, right? To give you a much deeper understanding of what this is, what the implications are, what the way things that you can do in your own life, perhaps, to manage it. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. Your doctor is ordering medications and a care plan for you. In the meantime, we're following their care plan, but we're also complementing it with other therapies from not just diet and exercise. We're also helping with mental health from social aspects to you need to socialize. A big thing with especially with lung disease, people feel isolated. When you have something like a COPD and you're not getting it out and you're not doing things, you feel isolated. You're home and you're alone and you're not doing things. People feel like they're not
socially connected.
Yeah, they're not connected anymore. And it's very humbling, and it's very, very debilitating, and very just very hard for people to manage. And that just is, it's just very sad. So trying to help people manage in all ways and stay strong and focused, and you have to hit all the areas to keep a person strong mentally, physically, and emotionally. So we try to hit all of those things. So we try to hit all of it. We do exercise, we do emotional exercises, we do everything just to try to keep people focused. And they're even working with each other. They talk to each other and try to keep each other strong in the groups. And they communicate with each other when they leave here, and talk to each other outside of the group here to help each other stay strong as well, which is very uplifting as well.
Yeah, social connectivity plays an outsized role in a lot of chronic disease conditions.
You know, really, especially peer support, in the sense that these are other individuals who know what it feels like to have this chronic disease or chronic condition and the kinds of challenges it presents personally and socially and what have you. So peer support has been found to be in a very effective modality for helping folks with some of these chronic issues to manage and to rise above them.
Absolutely. They talk about, we had one class where we were talking about oxygen and traveling with oxygen, and somebody didn't want to go and visit family because they were afraid to travel with oxygen on a plane. And another person in the group had an Inogen, and they were talking about traveling with the Inogen, and we helped facilitate getting them set up to travel with the Inogen. And it just happened that it happened while we were having group, and it worked out so well because they weren't going to go. they were canceling their trip and they were traveling to Virginia to see their daughter and hadn't seen them in a while. And the whole trip was not going to happen at all. And they still were able to go. And this is another, it's a total freeze, you know, it stops functioning for them. And this is something that shouldn't happen, but it does. It completely stops. And you have to realize and understand that this is so hard for people to continue. The other thing is they'll go without the oxygen, and that's not a good solution either, because now they're traveling with a heart rate that's sky high because their body is trying to accommodate for the oxygen that's now depleted, and trying to get someone to understand that their heart is trying to fix the low oxygen level, and you've just created a bigger problem. And trying to get someone to understand that sometimes is much harder too.
I know in the notes here, it talks about vaccinations and the various medications and what people can do beyond medications to help themselves. But first, we're going to take a very short break. And then when we come back, we'll get into those areas. So you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Shooting is unfortunately effective. There are not a lot of second chances.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
63 Americans a day die by gun suicide. By storing our guns safely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo, we can give our loved ones a second chance at life. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Terry Osterhout-Payton, who is a respiratory therapist affiliated with Margaretville Hospital. Terry, before the break, we were talking about various things that folks can do to help to ease the burden of chronic respiratory diseases. And certainly one of the things that we actively promote in the Department of Health is vaccination, because getting the vaccine to help protect against such diseases as flu or RSV or COVID really is very helpful to folks who are dealing with chronic disease issues such as pulmonary diseases. And also, as folks get older, it's very important to have these added protective therapeutic modules on board, and as well as some medications. So would you like to start talking about how you advise your patients about what they need to do to, as a preventive measure, for their, to help to reduce the potential adverse effects of their disease?
Absolutely. When fall comes around, the first thing I tell them, you got to get your flu vaccine, because if you get the flu, you're going to potentially then run into pneumonia. And if you get pneumonia, you're going to have potentially then an exacerbation of symptoms from your lung disease, because you get a much harsher symptom from the exacerbation, because now you have mucus production and inflammation in your airways, and then you're going to have a much harder disease progression, and you're just going to be much sicker. So getting your vaccinations is key to staying healthy. So having your vaccinations, your flu vaccination, making sure that you have your COVID vaccination. I know that the vaccinations and your COVID vaccination now, people are saying, well, it's much less, but you don't want to get COVID. You don't want to be in the hospital. Make sure to get your vaccinations. How about the RSV vaccination? Even if you're not around little kids, somebody's around the little kids. And then if you get RSV, the symptoms of RSV are the head and nose. So now you have a nose that's dripping and running. And those, the nosy drip or the drippy nose runs into the back of your throat, runs down your throat into your lungs, creates the inflammation of the airways, creates mucus in the lungs, creates the exacerbation of the airways. Now you have your exacerbation of your lungs again. So your vaccinations are key to staying healthy. Now talk about your medications. So your breathing medications, those are a huge thing, and a big thing for me, because people don't understand what the priority of medications is. When they're taking their breathing medications, they always think that their rescue medication is the biggest medication, because I take it and I feel better. So that's the most important medication. And that's just not the truth. The true medication that's the most important medication is their controller medication. It's going to control their symptoms. But because it doesn't work instantaneously, because they don't feel, I don't take a big breath and I feel better, they don't understand that that's the one controlling their symptoms. It's controlling the inflammation. It's controlling the cough. It's controlling the mucus production. So they don't understand that that's the one that's the most important. I had someone here just the other day who hadn't taken their controller for the last couple months because, and this is the honest truth, the cost had gone up to over $200 a month and they couldn't afford it. And I understand that. That's a lot of money. So they weren't taking it. So now they're in the emergency room because they're coughing, because they have more mucus, because they have increased wheezing. And that's what happens when you don't take your controller medication. So now they're using their rescue medication 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day to control their symptoms. But it's not controlling their symptoms because they're in the emergency room. So in the meantime, they need a controller medication to control their symptoms, but they can't afford that medication. And that's what happens. And that's part of our problem. And that's happening all over the place. And I can't fix that problem. But in the meantime, take your controller medication. That's the one that you want to make sure you rinse your mouth out afterwards. And it's a rinse and spit, folks. Don't swallow. Rinse your mouth out and spit. Because when you swallow, you're introducing it into your gut and you will get thrush. You do not want to get thrush. So your controller medication controls inflammation, controls cough, controls wheezing, controls the symptoms, so that you do not need to use your rescue inhaler. Your rescue inhaler should only need to be used infrequently, unless it's a prescribed medication where you're using it a couple times a day, then it's prescribed for that amount a day. But generally only needed as needed. Does that make sense, Dr. Smith?
Yes, absolutely.
So Terry, beyond medications, what lifestyle changes or non-pharmaceutical approaches are available to individuals, either to mitigate respiratory disease or even help prevent it?
So what's our number one? Stop smoking. If you smoke, please stop smoking. And I know that that's a very hard thing to do. And I know that I know that for some people, it's near to impossible. I'm happy to help anyone that wants to try. And that's the number one stumbling block. If you don't want to try, I can't help you. You have to want to stop. And that's the number one thing to think about. You have to want to stop. Other things that can help. You have to, number one, if you already have chronic lower respiratory disease, you need to change lifestyle things. Number one, eating smaller meals more frequently is something that can help. Exercise is huge. Everybody needs to exercise. And this is not just for chronic lower respiratory disease. And I'm sitting here telling this to myself as I'm sitting here.
I just went out for my walk.
Everybody.
Walk.
And I said that to myself this morning when I came in. Instead of just walking to the water cooler, I walk around the entire upper floor to go to the water cooler now. So everybody needs to exercise. It's key to all of our health. So that's a big thing. Water, we all need to drink at least 64 ounces of water a day, right? That's at least, that's the minimum. So that's a big thing. And how about our just mental health, just being communicative with everybody, talking to people, getting out and about and talking and doing things. That's a big thing, right?
You know, one thing I want to add, which I think is very important, is that, you know, folks who may have been dependent or basically addicted to nicotine and smokers for a long time sometimes feel as though it's, quote unquote, like too late to start, or will it make a difference? And the answer is absolutely, it would make a difference if they quit. Whenever they quit, because it has been shown that, you know, with the proper, again, medication and some of the other measures that Terry's talking about, that quitting tobacco, that the lungs can recover to a certain degree if they're not past the point where they can't. So it's really never too late to stop smoking, and to know that it will make a difference and it will help them to, you know, reduce the episodes where they get short of breath or, you know, become more, it is more difficult to breathe for whatever reason because of exercise or what have you. And so definitely it's never too late to stop smoking.
Did you know, Dr. Smith, that until you are 18 years old, that your lungs are still developing? So if you're smoking around children, people that are under the age of, that you're exposing them, those growing lungs, to that cigarette smoke, and that those developing lungs are being exposed to that smoke as well.
Yes, that's so very true.
I'm happy to say that I did smoke. I did quit. My father smoked. He died of emphysema. My grandmother smoked. She died of emphysema. I am not proud to say that I smoked. I am proud to say that I quit. And I am happy to say that I smoked for 13 years and was able to quit and have not smoked ever again. It took me 6 times to quit smoking. And that an average now is 8 to 11 times attempts to try and quit. And that it is not, it was probably one of the hardest things I ever did in my entire life. And I am a respiratory therapist, and I grew up in a household of smokers. So I think it was probably what I grew up in, and that's probably why I started. And that didn't help. But in the meantime, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you want to stop, any age is fine, and it will help you.
So Terry, we are kind of rapidly running out of time. So before we do, can you tell our listeners where they can go for more information about what we discussed today and how they can reach you?
Sure. My direct number is 845-517-6316. I am at Margaretville Memorial Hospital. That is my direct phone number. They can also go to the Health Alliance website. We have a website with Margaretville Hospital.
That's MargaretvilleHOSP.org, right?
And yes.
Pulmonary respiratory care.
Yep.
Well, Terry, that's really all the time we have for today. So first of all, I want to thank you for being our guest and for all the work that you and your colleagues do every day to keep people in our community healthy and help them cope with challenging diseases. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.